Well, let's go to the book of Titus there. We started that study last week. I've sort of gave an overview of getting into this book and just discussing some of the topics that we'll be getting into together. But tonight, I just, for the sake of time, and I think it was just appropriate how the Lord started us off, I want to begin in verse 1. Of this chapter, Titus chapter 1, and I'll begin reading there in verse 1. It says here, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I do pray that you would encourage hearts tonight. Well, we thank you for how you met with us this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the strengthening work you did in our lives. Lord, help us truly to be the first responders we need to be. And Lord, may no one in this church, no one ever have to say, no man cared for my soul. So Lord, we just pray you'd help us in that in the coming days and weeks and months in the lives of our church. Help us to be mindful of each other. And then Lord, even now as we look to Titus, as we begin this study, please, God, change us, mold us and make us into the image of the Lord Jesus. Lord, strengthen our church as we look to your word. Oh God, we don't want to look to our feelings, our emotions, our opinions. We want to look to your precious holy word. And the power of your spirit, we do ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the subject of tonight's message will be simply this, a servant of God. Paul, how appropriate that Paul would open this letter to this young man, this young preacher, young pastor, and what an example that Paul would open up this letter to him saying, Paul, a servant of God. What makes it so interesting is that that word servant actually could also be said as being slave. Doulos is the Greek word, which means a bond servant, an actual slave in the Greek and the Roman times. That's exactly what they were. So what Paul, in essence, is saying here, church, Paul, a slave of God. A slave of God is what Paul. Now listen, let's all admit here tonight, that is not the way we usually like to introduce ourselves. We don't like to introduce ourselves as a slave of God. Yes, we say yes, I'm a Christian. I believe the Lord Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. But boy, you start using that word slave and boy, it gets quiet. And it's like, well, you know, why is that? Why is that word slave? Well, maybe it gives a negative connotation because of what was experienced here in our own country. But the honest truth is, this word right here has a positive connotation. It is a positive term because of who he is a slave to. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here that that is the way Paul is introducing himself. I know it had to be encouraging to Titus. I mean, what a humble statement to start off a letter. I mean, you know, sometimes in our society, we get, even in our circles, you get these, what I consider them Baptist popes. You know, they are uppity up and higher than everybody else, and you feel like, they make you feel like you got to bow down to them. You're in their presence, and that's a shame, folks. It truly is a shame, and that should never be a child of God, no matter what his position is in the church or wherever he is. Because listen, I believe that the ground at the cross is level. Level. No way, you can cut it any way you want. The ground at the cross is completely level. There are no superiors and no inferiors, only equals. Paul knew that. And how an encouragement to this young pastor not to be intimidated by Paul, which, boy, if anybody was what I would consider a great Christian, a great man of God, it would be the Apostle Paul. But he would not want that. He would be totally embarrassed if somebody were to try to brag on him like that. He simply was known and entitled himself as a slave of God. You know, do you ever think of yourself as a slave of God? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. What does a slave do? A slave is one who gives himself up to another's will. Another's will, and also titled as this, devoted to another to disregard of one's own interest. You know what a slave is? A slave is basically you have completely set aside all your rights and all your wants, and all of those things are set aside and saying, Lord God, I'm all yours. I'm all yours. And that's what Paul believed with all his heart. This word doulos, again, which means slave, was used by Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Same thing, introducing himself in the letter. Also, in Galatians 1:10. In fact, look over there with me just for a minute in the book of Galatians. This same word doulos is used. Galatians chapter number 1. Look there, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He's just talking about now with the Pharisees and the legalism that was taking place and the Judaism there in the sense of them having a hard time differentiating the law and grace. But listen to what he says here. He says in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." That's that same word, doulos, slave. What is Paul saying here? He says the moment that he starts bowing down to the fear of men, to the fear of man and what they think is right instead of what the Bible says is right. And you know what he's saying? He said, I no longer become a slave to the Lord Jesus. God does not want us to become a slave to anyone but to Himself, a servant of the Most High God. So we see here in Galatians chapter 1, James also uses it. Now these are men, again, who really, and from my opinion and speaking to myself, would just run circles around me spiritually speaking. But they considered themselves slaves of the Lord Jesus. James did it. Peter did it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter considered himself a slave. Jude, in verse 1, Jude referred to himself as a slave. You know, let's just be honest, that's not the title that we want. But boy, isn't the title that should be most desired? And sometimes we get it backwards, don't we? We live in a society that everyone's desires to be put up on a pedestal or just to be put in the limelight and to be put in the center of attention and people that want to be bowed down to. And also that's almost the society that we live in. That we have. Now again, that's totally different from what we did this morning. What we did this morning is just honored men and women. The Bible says that we ought to do that very clearly. But folks, when I start conforming my will to someone or to something other than God, it becomes an idol. And I'm no longer a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ like He desires me to be. Listen to Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. It says, And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Or again, same Greek word, doulos, which you could say slave. Being a slave one to another, serving one another, letting my desires, set aside my wants so that I might serve the Lord God. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, doulos. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know why I think Paul was very clear on that he was a slave of Jesus Christ and why he would put that at the very first phrase of this letter to Titus? You know why I believe it was? Because I believe Paul was making a point. Not to brag. Of course he's not bragging. But what he's saying, he's making a point. He's saying, look, I used to be a slave to someone else. I used to be a slave to Satan. I was born, Paul knew this, I was born into slavery. I was born into slavery, all right? I was born into slave with my sin nature serving Satan. We all do. You're either serving Satan or you're serving the Savior. Either, you could look at them. That's a simple way to cut it. And Paul at one time was a servant of Satan. He did the work of Satan. I mean, I know sometimes things aren't really clear. You can say, wow, that sin, is that really serving Satan? But hey, I believe his murdering Christians would probably fall along the lines of the works of Satan, would it not? It would, but he didn't have to just be murdering Christians. He was a sinner by nature, just like we all are, born in this world. But Paul was a servant to Satan, but no longer to Satan. But he was now a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the illustration back in the Civil War when this was a huge, huge controversy with slavery and whatnot. And there was this one landowner that went to the slave market that day. And went for one purpose, and that was to purchase some slaves. But not everybody knew what was going on, but the master did, the one who owned the land. He knew exactly what he's doing, and he went to this slave market. And of course, there's bidding going on. They have the slaves up there for everyone to view. And this master, this slave owner, made his bid. And boy, he just kept bidding the highest. And he finally got the one, the slave that he was looking for and looking at. And man, that slave, when he got down, of course, he was bitter. And he voiced his opinion, even to this master, even considering the consequences, would say to this master, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are purchasing us? Do you think I'm an animal? To put me in slavery to yourself and to treat us like this?" And he didn't realize what the man was doing, but the man let him talk. But then he said to the slave, he said, "Sir, I understand your frustration, but I don't think you understand what I've done." He said, "Sir, I have bought you to set you free. I have purchased you because I'm going to give you freedom. And yes, you are considered my slave, but yet, you are free. You can live on my land. You can plow my land. You can use my animals. Everything I have is yours. You are free." And you know what? That's exactly what God did with us. God purchased us from the slave market of sin. We were chained, but God brought us and bought us by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are not slaves unto Him, but we are slaves with liberty, with freedom to worship the Most High God. And He gives us a choice. You can serve Me with your own free will, and I will bless you and allow you to serve Me, and I want you to serve Me. And Paul knew that. It was an honorable position. People in the society looked at a slave. Why would you ever call yourself a slave? But Paul knew, oh yes, society looks down upon a position that is lowly, but not Paul. He said, hey, that's an honorable position, a servant. And boy, what better way to encourage this young pastor to make a point right off. Son, you might be in a leadership position. You might be going and leading people. And people might think highly of you, but let me tell you, never, ever, ever lose the fact that you are a slave and servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, folks, this truth has come home to me more than anything just in the ministry of marriage. Boy, learning to serve one another. My mentor, Pastor Frank Camp, who's been with us, and he would always tell, and he said, "Listen, Brinson," he said, "one of the greatest things that will help your marriage," he says, "you will learn to serve your wife." And of course, you know, first year of marriage, I'm thinking, "Pastor Camp, you have lost your mind. I'm the man of the house. I go home and bring the bread, and you know what? She can do the cleaning, she can do the cooking, she can take care of them kids, you know, bless the Lord, I bring the bread." Well, I learned
It took me long because it takes me a while to learn things. But I learned that did not help me. And he used to tell me, he said, "Brinson," now this is for you married folks, okay? He said, "Brinson," he said, "you learn to serve Joanna like Jesus Christ served the disciples. And you go out of your way to help her and love her and show that." He said, "the kisses will be a whole lot sweeter." And I believe it. I believe it. You know what that is? Men, what you can prove to your wives that you're not above her and that she's not your slave, serve her. And the same goes for one another here in the body of Christ. We serve one another. We serve our community because we are slaves to the Most High God, which is an honorable position. Because listen, we have a perfect and holy and compassionate, loving Master who does no faults, who is just and pure. Hey, that's the Master we need. And that's the Master Paul had, and I believe he was letting Titus know right off. Let's pray. Father, help us to not be ashamed of the title of servants of God, slaves to the Most High, to the Messiah, to the Lamb of God. Lord, help us to serve You first and foremost. But through that, with a servant's heart, Lord, would You help us to serve each other? Help us as spouses, Lord, to serve each other, Lord God. Would You help us as we see Paul right off in his spirit in the very beginning of the book of Titus, letting us know through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we are all who name the name of Christ through salvation, we are servants, slaves to Thee. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.